We've got the rock. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus, our solid foundation. Stability comes from Him. Hallelujah. People are trying to find stability in man and in programs and all kinds of other things. But true stability comes from the Lord. Amen. Our Creator, returning to Him. Hallelujah. The same one who designed us and created us can keep us as well, right? So we got to look beyond the moment, look beyond this present time. Guys, if we are not careful, we can get bogged down in the drama of the moment and all the stuff that's being said and spilled out over the news media. And, you know, if we're not careful, we can just adopt a very pessimistic, negative, unbelieving attitude about what we're hearing and seeing. And the Bible says that the righteous will walk or live by faith. Amen. And the just shall live by what? Faith, and not by sight. So we need to be very careful, because often we do judge by what we see and what we hear in the natural. But what we really need is to hear the voice of God in the midst of all the noise and the confusion. We need His voice breaking through, and we need to know when we're hearing His voice. And when God speaks, it's life to us. So God wants us to trust Him, to believe Him. And God can do anything. He's limitless. God has placed within each one of us a key, amen, to unlock heaven's resources. We petition Him through prayer and faith, right? The prayer of faith on behalf of our nation, our loved ones, our neighbors, our community. God can turn anything around, guys. God's heart is redemptive in nature. God wants to save America. Yeah. And God can shift things. How many remember back when the wall came down between East and West Germany? It happened almost overnight. It was incredible. Years and years and years of this thing, and all of a sudden, boom, it's down. And that's how God can work and how He can move, even in America. And we're seeing some good things, but guys, we need to continue to storm heaven, amen, and that God will intervene, that God will arise in America, and that He will drive out His enemies, hallelujah, that He will crush Satan under our feet, and that the name of Jesus Christ will be exalted in this land again, amen. I pray, Lord, the fear of God to come upon every American, hallelujah. God, I pray in Jesus' name that You will move mightily, Lord, upon our nation. Even now, God, we pray, Lord, that You will move mightily across this nation, Lord, by Your Spirit. Lord, that You will overshadow every man, woman, boy, and girl and in this city, Lord God, in this state, hallelujah, in America today. Father, we pray for a great awakening in America. Father, we ask You to wake up Your church across America. Lord, wake us up. Wake us up inside, Lord. Bring us to full flame. Lord, set our hearts on fire for You. Fill us, Lord, with holy passion. Fill us with Your divine presence. We hunger and we thirst for You, the living God, for only You satisfy. Hallelujah. So God, I pray, refresh, revive, renew, restore our hearts, our lives, Lord, today. Recalibrate us, Lord, according to Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this morning's message is Looking Beyond Marah. That's M-A-R-A-H, Looking Beyond Marah. When a person serves Satan, I don't know about you, but I've served Satan in the past, some of the conflicts can be avoided. Certain conflicts can be avoided when you're in league with him. But as soon as a person turns away from the devil and turns to the Lord, you have now become a turncoat. And the devil doesn't like it. So when a person decides to follow Jesus, the devil flies into a rage. When Pharaoh knew that Israel was going to leave, hallelujah, he didn't like it too much. He flew into a rage, didn't he? And he pursued them with every anticipation that he was going to overtake them and destroy them or enslave them again. And yet God intervened and brought another great deliverance, didn't he? And you know, if we're not careful, we can quickly forget all of that God has done for us in our lives. Would you agree with me that it's important that we reflect on God's faithfulness? That we remember what God has done for us. We remember where we were and where He's brought us to today. Amen. So then gratitude, we give him thanks. And thanks produces authentic praise. Praise what he inhabits. And the presence of the Lord brings us joy. Amen. And joy is our strength. And it's all created through a heart of gratitude towards the Lord, remembering his faithfulness. Because when you're faced with a new situation, sometimes all you have to do is go back and look back and say, Lord, but I know that you've taken me this far by faith. I've trusted in you. You've never failed me yet. Amen. And like the old song says, we've come this far by faith. Trusting in the Lord. Oops, I just sang. Trusting in his holy name. He's never failed me yet. Some of you from the South know that one, right? I know I just butchered it, but that's sort of how it goes. But actually, they didn't do it right. Yeah. Sometimes it's just easier to give up and give into the pressure than to stand your ground and resist evil. Would you agree with me that it is easier to kind of go along with the crowd? What most people do? It requires, amen, some discipline on our behalf and some resolve to stand against what's popular if what's popular is not in agreement with God's will. You and I have been called to stand, amen, for Jesus in this world. We're to be lights in this dark, sin-sick world. We're to be salt. We're to be influencers. We're not to be influenced by the world, but we're to influence the world around us. By the grace that God supplies us, by the ability he supplies, we can be a light. We can make a difference. God has called you and I to pray, to petition him, amen, to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation, on behalf of others. But this was the attitude of many, even that came out of Egypt, is that they didn't want to have any kind of pressure. They were so used to being controlled and being told what to do that to them it would be just easier just to go along with the program and not question anything, not stand against anything, not resist the evil, but just go back into it rather than face the uncertainties of the present time. You know, guys, this is what's happening in America. All of us are wondering, well, what's going to happen? And the prophetic scene is blowing off the charts right now. If you look on YouTube, there are so many prophetic voices right now. Amen. And how many know that it's very important that you and I know God's voice ourselves? Amen. Amen. So if you hear a word from God, you're going to say, that's the Lord. And you're going to know that's the Lord speaking, right? Because God is speaking through prophets today, but God wants us to know him in our secret heart so we can identify his voice and distinguish his voice from all the other voices. How many know there are a lot of voices right now? There's a lot of information. There's an information overload right now. And what it's doing is causing confusion. And it's causing people to fear. And when we get into fear, then we're no longer walking in faith. And when we get fearful, then we start to bow down to the pressure that we're under and submit to it rather than to the Lord. So some of the people said in Numbers 14 and verse 3, this is what happened is after God had delivered them out of Egypt, they said, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? You know, sometimes we're prone to think that the easy way is the right way. The smooth way has got to be God's will for us. That's not necessarily true, is it? The easy way is not necessarily the right way. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:14. He said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, there are few who find it. He didn't say it would be easy. He didn't say it would be wide. He didn't say the way of the crowd is the way of life. He says, my way is narrow. It's difficult. It's confined. It's a straight way. You have to keep focused on this path. There are many traps. The enemy is trying to set you and I up to get us to stumble, to get us to fall, to get us to take our eyes off of Jesus and put our eyes on all that's going on around us right now. He wants to magnify the evil to make it appear to be bigger than it really is. The media is pretty good at presenting a narrative. They all kind of collude together and all say the same things. And if people don't know to look elsewhere, especially in the Word of God, come on, they start to believe after a while what they're hearing. Well, if they're all saying it, it must be true. And you know, we are social creatures by nature, and therefore we also want to be able to fit in to the herd, right? To the flock. We want to fit in, and we don't want to be the oddball. We don't want to be rejected by the crowd. And so therefore, sometimes it's just easier to say, okay, well, we'll go along with the crowd rather than stand for what's right. Or stand up for your principles and for your convictions. And that's why you and I, independent of Jesus, are no match for the onslaught of evil that we're facing right now. That's why you and I need the power of God in our lives so that we can overcome. We are not able to overcome in our own willpower. You agree with that? Amen? We need the power of God in our lives to overcome this world. What we are faced with is bigger than we are. There are giants in the land, and they could eat us for lunch if it weren't for the Lord being on our side and the Lord being with us and for us. You see, there was a few that believed. Remember Joshua and Caleb? They had a different spirit in them. They believed that God, what He had promised that He would do, that God was well able to give them the land that He had promised them. But we have to be careful. What voice am I listening to? As a matter of fact, you need to be careful about who you hang around with sometimes, right? Come on. You get around the wrong kind of people that are spouting out unbelief. You know, you can end up joining company with them and getting right in the same funk they are. We need to be able to pull people out of that pit, amen? And we should be the most optimistic people on the planet because God's with us, God's for us, God's got it. We're not worried about these things. Why should we worry? And why especially should we worry about something we have no control over anyways? Why don't we just rejoice and be happy in Jesus and live our lives for God, amen? And we'll do whatever God shows us to do, but we just need to resist the evil that's coming against us, stand in the gap, not only for our own sakes, but for the sakes of our families, our loved ones, our community, our nation. America needs the church right now, like never before, to rise up on this occasion, amen, to stand in the gap, to storm heaven, to cry out to God that His kingdom would come, He would establish His rule and His reign in this nation once again. God is able to topple the idols. God is able to bring the evil down. God is able to crush Satan under our feet. We need to know who our God is and quit listening to that man behind the curtain. After Israel passed through the sea, there was a great celebration. This is kind of how life is sometimes. You know, we go through periods where things are going really good right now. And it's easy to be optimistic, to be positive when things are going well. Can you say amen? But how about being optimistic and being positive when things aren't going so well? When you're under a lot of pressure. If ever there's a time you need to rejoice and praise the Lord, is when you're under pressure. Hallelujah. I found that God can break that thing off of you, get that oppression off of you, amen? If you just praise Him. So in Exodus 15 and verse 20, then Miriam the prophetess, this is after they passed through the sea, the sister of Aaron took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her, after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea." Hallelujah. You know, we can rejoice in the fact that Satan, amen, has been defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord, amen. The devil uses lies and deception now to deceive the minds of people. If he can get us into unbelief, and if he can rob us of our faith or our confidence in God, then he can control us. Amen. But if we know who our God is and we stand on His promises, stand on His word, stand on His faithfulness, amen, the devil cannot manipulate and control us any longer. Why? Because Jesus has stripped him of his armor. He's overcome him. Amen. He's overcome sin and death. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And He's given to you and I authority to represent Him here and to enforce what He's already accomplished. How many know the power of sin's already been broken? People need to know the power of sin has been broken. There's freedom in Christ. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a slave to that addiction anymore. You don't have to be a slave to that sin anymore. Because Jesus Christ offers you full pardon and deliverance from the power of sin and from the power of Satan. Hallelujah. And yet after a short time of celebration, what happens here? They found themselves being faced with a new challenge. That's kind of how it is in life. We have an up and a down, a mountain and a valley. We go through some difficult times. Hey, things were starting to really pick up here. The economy was opening up. You know, hey, everybody's going back to work. Hallelujah. You know, the church is starting, people are starting to come back into the church, you know, again. And all of a sudden, what's this I hear? We've got to look beyond the moment. And we need to see what God is up to. And that we have something to rejoice in today. Even though we may not be seeing it now, we need to rejoice in hope. Because our God is the God of all hope, and He has the future as well as the past. Amen. And we are in the palm of His hand, and we don't have a thing to worry about. Hallelujah. We should be rejoicing. Hallelujah. How is it that the disciples, even after they were flogged for the name of Jesus, could rejoice? Because they were full of the Holy Spirit, full of the joy of the Lord. The Lord was their strength. Naturally, that would be impossible. But they relied upon the ability that God supplied them. And they rejoiced. They did the opposite of what they might have been feeling. I find sometimes when I'm not feeling I praise in the Lord, that's the best time to praise Him. We should praise Him all the time. Amen. But there's times when things are going wrong in your life and I've decided, well, I could either rejoice or I can complain. Some of the children of Israel complained, and God wasn't too happy about that. Why? Because complaining is a sign that we're in unbelief, that we're not really trusting the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So what happened here? Verse 22, Exodus 15, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And then they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. So there you have the meaning of the word Marah, right? It's bitterness. Have you ever gone 3 days without water? Oh, those unbelieving Israelites. Here we are in our air-conditioned houses with our refrigeration and our cell phones. Are you hearing me? And our supermarkets. Oh, how... If I were them... Talking about going barefoot and, you know, heat and wind and whatever the elements were they were facing, amen. They were in a situation they had never been before. They didn't know what to think. And yet they found themselves now after this great deliverance and a time of celebration. How quickly we forget, right? And all of a sudden now we're just looking at a new situation and we have the choice. We can either rejoice and celebrate and hope that God's going to once again bring us through. He's going to deliver us. We're going to overcome this thing by His grace. Or we can complain and say, oh, it would be better for us just to go back and not have to resist, not have to fight. That's what happens is the devil has convinced some people that it's too impossible for them. So they just resolved to give in to whatever the problem was. And they remain bound because of a lie that they believed. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? So what appeared to be a blessing, they come to this place. They thought, after 3 days of thirsting, now we're going to get some water. And what happened? The water was no good. So what they did is they assumed, because they were living by sight, that God had let them down. Has anybody beside myself assumed that God let you down? Simply because you couldn't see beyond the moment. You couldn't see beyond the temporary. You couldn't see beyond what you're faced with. And you have a certain expectation that you put on God. That if I were God, I would do it this way. But you're not God, and God's ways are better than our ways. He's smarter than we are. God's working out a plan in your life through all of it. God's looking at the end result. Amen. He's going to have a glorious church without spot or blemish. He's going to have a bride that's beautiful. A people that are ready, amen, to be presented to the Lord Jesus in that day. Hallelujah. So no matter what we're going through right now, we're going through the boot camp, all right, or the training ground of eternity. God's getting us ready for something glorious. It's up ahead, and we have to keep our eyes on the prize, amen, and that's Jesus, hallelujah. He's the one that's waiting. He's the one that's rooting for you. He's the one that's saying, well done, amen, my good and faithful servant. You keep your eyes upon me. What I promised you, I will perform. God knows how to turn the bitter into sweet. So whatever appeared to be a letdown actually was not. God was going to perform another miracle. Sometimes we're just so quick to make a judgment on a situation. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to know that God's timing is perfect in our lives. Because I get impatient sometimes. How about you? We get impatient in the process. I remember working in this one particular job. I knew that God had called me to preach and that God was going to use me in pastoral ministry as well as evangelistic work. And I had this fire in my bones. It was like Jeremiah. But what God was doing is God was preparing me through this time, being in this situation with people that I didn't really want to be around, some of them that is, okay? Because God wanted to work in my character, and he wanted to get me ready for what was up ahead. He wanted to know that he would have a vessel that was user-friendly, amen, that wouldn't fall apart under a little pressure, because I had a bad temper, amen. I was a believer, I loved Jesus, but I had a bad temper. And I still do, but I just keep it squashed every day, amen. I don't let it get the best of me anymore, praise God. God gives us the grace to do that, you know. It's that old man. You have to keep that old man dead every day, right? Keep him under submission. So anyways, I wanted so badly to get through this situation, out of this situation, and be into ministry, because I knew that's where God was calling me, but I needed to learn how to deal with the lion and the bear, if you will. I had to learn, like David, how to use, okay, what he had already put in my hands, and be faithful with that before God would then entrust me with something else. And God's timing was perfect. God put me in some situation and under some pressure cooker situations that were just like, I can't believe this is happening. But it was preparatory. It was to get me ready for what God had up ahead. And I mean, everything from lying and rejection and just, you know, well, I don't need to go into it. But God knew what I needed, and he knew that I needed to be in a position where I wasn't so full of myself that he couldn't use me anymore. So God had to humble me through the pressure and the situation, you know, that I was going through, so that I would learn how to lean on him, trust in him, and get over my selfish ambition and my desires, so that I'd be in a position where I could say, okay, Lord, I'm done with the fight. I'm done with the struggle. I'm done trying to do it my way. I'm done trying to make a name for myself. Come on, somebody. And Lord, I just want to live for you. I just want to make a name for you. I just want to serve you. And isn't it interesting that when you are humbled by the Lord, now you're in a position where God can exalt you and use you for his glory. Amen. And he can put you in a situation where you can be trusted because you've been proven already. Do you understand that we are in a proving ground, guys? God is working in our lives, amen? And it's preparation for what he has up ahead for you, which is much better than what you can see right now. Israel didn't understand. They couldn't see beyond the moment. All they saw was the desert. All they saw was the thirst and the hunger and the bitter water. And yet even in that, God had provision for them. He was going to turn that around. He was going to turn the bitter into sweet. So what did Moses do? Well, the people complained in Exodus 15:24. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What did Moses do? Verse 25, he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them. Why the disappointments in life? Because God wants to humble us. What is God doing with Israel here? He was humbling them. He needed to also reveal what was in their hearts. and to teach him how to walk in his ways. I don't know about you, but pressure has a way of revealing what's in our hearts. Anybody married here? You get under those high pressure moments, come on, in your relationships. God wants us to understand that we need to rely upon His strength, His ability, and not our own. And when we get proud, we become independent, and we think that we've got it now. We can do this. Isn't it true? You hear Christians, young Christians especially, they're on a mountain peak, you know? And boy, his life is going to be like this. The rest of my life, it's going to be like this. And all of a sudden, what just happened? God, have you left me out here to die in the wilderness? And in some cases, they do go back in their heart. They go back to Egypt. They go back into the world. God wants us to know that what he's allowing in your life is for you. It's good for you. God's producing in you, amen, a steadfastness. He's bringing stability to our lives. Hallelujah. God wants the people that are, again, user-friendly. Someone that he can trust with the greater riches. So we have to go through the trials and the difficulties. We have to go through the test in order to get promoted. And so it says in Deuteronomy 8:3, this is what he said. He humbled you. And he allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. This is a completely new thing for them, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Guys, I believe God is humbling America right now. We have been a very proud people, very prideful, self-sufficient. We take care of matters ourselves. What happens when those things that you trusted in are not there now? Who are you going to trust now? What happens when the government that you trusted in forsakes you? Who are you going to trust now? What happens when the toys are no longer there? You understand God is humbling America because God is looking at his people. God's eye is upon his church. He's getting his bride ready right now. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be in this forever, but I believe that we're going through a season of time where God's going to humble his people sufficiently so that they will be in position, amen, to receive, hallelujah, what God wants to pour out upon his church in America. I believe that this is preparatory for a great awakening that's coming upon this nation. In order for us to receive, in order for us to receive the grace of God, we must first be humbled. And we've been so self-sufficient, even in the church, come on, we've been so comfortable and self-sufficient. And what do I need God for? I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to pray. I've got the bank. I've got the grocery store. I've got my YouTube. You know, if God has to speak louder, he will. God forbid, what if the power grid goes down? Who are we going to trust? Who are you going to call? And don't tell me Ghostbusters. God's doing a work, guys, right now. So we need to rejoice and hope and know that God's got it. God's going to humble Pharaoh. God's bringing Pharaoh, amen, to his knees. Hallelujah. He's exposing. He's taking the lid off. He's exposing it all right now. Hallelujah. We're asking God for justice in our land. Lord, give us justice against our adversaries who are seeking to destroy us and enslave us. God, give us hope. Rescue us. Come to our rescue. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn, what? From their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Well, guess what? Many of us now are coming to a place where we realize we better start listening to God. It's our only hope for America is that we return to the God of our fathers and call out to him. God's getting his people ready for the groom. Who led the Israelites to Marah? Who led them there? Yeah, God brought him to a place that what was bitter, but he wasn't going to leave him there. God was going to demonstrate his power in the midst of that. But Moses had to respond. He had to obey God. He had to respond to God's direction, amen, to his commandment. Take the branch, amen, the tree, and cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. What does that mean? Man has to cooperate with his Creator. You and I have to obey God's voice and also do our part in doing what he's telling us to do. How about like getting out to vote? Doing something and just sitting around, well, I hope. Well, God says, what's in your hand? I've given you some talent. I've given you some intelligence. I've given you some ability. Use it, amen, to make a difference in this nation. Be a blessing to your neighbor. Be a blessing to others. Don't just think about, well, as long as this goes well for me in my lifetime, like Hezekiah. Amen. We want to be like, Lord, I don't want to just have it good for me. I want it good for my children and my children's children. Amen. I want them to have a good country, a free country to live in. Amen. And you and I have been given an opportunity. We have a space of time right now that God has given us an opportunity to agree with him, to partner with him, to turn this thing around. Amen. And to see America rescued from the hands of evil ones that want to oppress us. And God is bigger than they are. God can humble Pharaoh, and he's doing it. Sometimes you've heard it said that disappointments are what? God's appointments. I know it's been a crazy year. But God has promised good to them that trust him, even in the midst of it. Not the psalmist say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We can dine at his table. Hallelujah. No devil in hell can stop you, amen, from approaching and coming into your Father's throne by faith and receiving everything you have need of there. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Because we are the house of God. We are the house of prayer. Amen. The Lord is with us. All we have need of, he supplies. People disappoint us. Governments disappoint us. Sometimes our circumstances disappoint us. But sometimes disappointments are designed to get our eyes off the wrong things and turn us towards the Lord. So sometimes God allows things in our lives to get our attention. Listen to Moses, his prophetic instruction to Joshua just before he was across the Jordan into the land in Deuteronomy 31:7. Then Moses called to Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. In verse 8, but this is his instruction. It's his instruction to us today. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And I said it before, but discouragement is not from the Lord. If you are discouraged this morning, know the source is not the Lord. Amen. It's that devil. He's trying to discourage. God wants to encourage. The devil wants to rob you of your faith. God wants you to be strong in faith, confident in his faithfulness, confidence in his word and his promises that are yea and amen. Not how things appear right now. Not what the media is telling us. Get your eyes off that thing. Amen. What do we need? We need patience. Just be patient. I want it now too. I want it now. I want this over. This has been a long year. 2 weeks. 2 weeks has turned into how many? 9 months now? 10 months? I think, when does this end? Hallelujah. But you know what, guys? We got to look beyond it. We got to look beyond it. We got to look beyond the temporary. We got to look beyond Marah. We got to look beyond the bitter and know that God can turn whatever's bitter into something sweet. Guys, I'm not looking for the old normal. We need to be looking for a better normal. Come on, somebody. Amen. The problem was the old normal. We were complacent, apathetic. Many of the people in the church even were, right? And God says, I don't want you in the old normal anymore. I want to take you into something better. Hallelujah. And if we look to Him and delight ourselves in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart, just like He promised. Hallelujah. Romans 15:4 says, such things, these things that we're talking about, discussing here, Israel of old, were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us. And the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Yeah. And you all know this one very well, Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And right now there's a lot of folks that are just thinking, I'm about ready just to throw in the towel, just to give up. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Yeah, right at the brink of a miracle, the devil wants you to throw the towel in. Oh, just give in. Just concede. Just go along with what most people are doing. Put your muzzle on. Well, the Lord is our strength, isn't He? And listen to the way Paul, and I sent this out yesterday, but he prayed this way for the church of Ephesus. In Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Guys, I hope that you and I realize that we need God's power. If you don't think you need God's power, you are deceived. And if you don't think you can be deceived, you're deceived already. We need God's help. We need His strength. We need His wisdom. And in Ephesians 3:17, it says, then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So delay does not mean that the miracle isn't on its way. Now, when the Persian king Cyrus had decreed, after Israel had been in captivity for 70 years, that they could finally return to their land, they were in Psalms 126:1. Listen to what they said. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Hallelujah. Do you understand? They were in captivity for 70 years. I pray that that's not going to happen here. Come on, somebody. Amen. But after being in captivity for so long, when their deliverance finally came, they were like those who dreamed. Can you believe this is actually happening? Can you believe we're actually free? And what happened was there was an explosion of praise and gratitude towards God. There was revival. Understand, we need to ride it out a few more days, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Be instant in season and out of season. Continue to pray. Continue to walk with Him. Continue to listen for His voice every day. Do what He's telling you to do. Amen. Just be faithful in the process right now, because God is taking us somewhere. We're going to go through this. We're going to get through this. And on the other side of this, there's going to be a great awakening. I believe a revival is coming, hallelujah, to this land, to the church, because the church is being humbled and they're coming to a place where we know that we must rely upon God again. That's a good thing. So that the power of God can be manifested through us. Because we're no longer full of ourselves and strong in ourselves and self-confident. Brother, your problem is low self-esteem. No, your problem is pride. You humble yourself, God will esteem you. Amen? And your confidence will be in Christ. Hallelujah. And you can be confident in yourself as you're confident in God. That's how it works. But the man tells you just to be confident in yourself. And you may be able to achieve something in this world, but how many know you can't achieve anything in eternity except that which you've done in obedience to Christ? What they had patiently longed for finally came to pass. Guys, I want us to hang in there, be strong, listen to His voice, be courageous, be joyful. Rejoice instead. Don't get that funk on you, amen, from the world. the world wants to vomit on you, amen, from the media. Don't put yourself under that spout, amen. Get yourself under the spout where the glory comes out, amen. Get yourself under the Lord, hallelujah. Place yourself under His care, amen. Trust in Him, submit yourself to Him, walk with Him, hallelujah. And you can have joy even in the midst of a world that's full of sorrow. And people are going to look and say, what's the secret? Well, it's not a secret anymore. It's Jesus in my heart, hallelujah. And He wants you. Lazarus is an example. Jesus, our brother Lazarus, is sick unto death. So what did Jesus do? That's right. He didn't drop everything and run. But He continued two more days doing what the Father told Him to do. Even though He loved Lazarus, God had a plan. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, wasn't He? You remember that? But He had to wait until Lazarus was good and dead. In order to have a resurrection, you've got to have a death, right? But Jesus said, this is for the glory of God. How about the cross? When all hope was gone, Jesus was crucified. The disciples quickly forgot His promises and thought it was hopeless. And then finally, on the third day, the miracle came. Jesus rose again. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking we don't need to trust God when things are going well. God knows that you and I living independent of Him is disastrous. And if your contentment or your happiness is dependent on anything or anyone other than God, you're at risk of falling into disappointment. If your contentment is in your stuff, in your position, in your title, if your contentment is in anything or anyone, sometimes people put their family before God. They put their husband or their wife before God. Oh, I would go accept my wife or my husband, or, you know, I'd serve the Lord if it wasn't for her or for him. If your happiness is dependent on anything or anyone other than the Lord, you're setting yourself up for a crash, for a disappointment. The things that we think we want sometimes are simply just idols that get in between you and God and His purpose for you. You may not even realize it's an idol until it's not there anymore. Now you realize how much you were depending on that thing. Or even on that person sometimes. I've seen families fall apart because they put too much clout in one who was the strong one in the family, who stood in the gap and prayed for them. Amen. And when that person, the Lord took that one home, the family collapsed because their foundation was not in Christ, but in that person. The same thing happens with ministries and with pastors. People put too much clout in the messenger. Amen. And so if something happens to the messenger, so their faith goes likewise. Because their hope was in the messenger and not in the God of the messenger. Amen. I'm here to point you to Jesus. Amen. I want to be an example to you. And I want to be here for you. But ultimately, what we need is Jesus. Amen. I'm just the paper boy. Hear ye, hear ye. Discontentment often leads to idolatry. False gods, people, places, and things, right? Sometimes disappointment is God's way of reminding us that there are idols in our hearts that need to be toppled. You know, Israel didn't have a whole lot in Egypt. Probably the biggest thing that they looked forward to was the leeks, right? The food. They were heavily oppressed. They were probably worked to death. But once they got into the wilderness, into a new place, and God was taking them through that place to something better, all they could think about is what they did have, which is really not much. And they wanted to go back to that. And sometimes, guys, if we're not careful, we can compromise our destiny for the temporary satisfaction. Many people are just looking for momentary satisfaction here and now. Well, as long as it goes well now for me. You know, we shouldn't adopt that attitude. God has something superior, something better for us. But we're going to have to go through some things, amen, to be prepared to be able to handle what he has for us. So we got to look past this present time right now. What you're experiencing right now, what we're all experiencing going through right now, we got to look past Marah. All of us have failed God. Can you say amen? This is the good news. Jesus passed the test for us. In Exodus 15:25, remember, so he, Moses, cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. How many know it was on a tree that Jesus, the Son of God, made the bittersweet for us? He made the bittersweet for those who will receive him. And your marahs will become blessings in the end if you continue to trust the Lord. Jesus drank the bitter cup for us. The poison of sin was neutralized and healing was made available to all who believe. The same God who led them to Marah also led them to an oasis. This is the thing. Guys, right now we may not be able to see it, except we can see it by faith, that God has an oasis up ahead. God has something better up ahead. And right now, all we can be looking at is the moment, amen, and the bitterness of this moment, and our lives being so disrupted and everything is crazy around us. We got to look beyond this and say, but God has something better for those who trust him. We're going to be faithful to him, amen, unto the end. God's taking us through, and he took us out of Egypt to bring us in, amen, to his promise. And so they came, in verse 27 of Exodus 15, to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And so they camped there by the waters. They entered into a resting place, a refreshing place in the Lord. God doesn't want us to live a single day without him. We need to be kept from the sin of independence, the pride that would make us forget him. By faith, we've got to look beyond Marah, this moment, this time, and we need to see the oasis of Elim ahead of us. God is our oasis. He is our refreshing. Let us delight in him. Forsake all complaining. All right? Work on it. Instead of complaining, give God thanks. Give God praise. Amen. If you're around somebody complaining, turn it around. When I worked for Panasonic back in the day and I was a new Christian, and I was a negative individual. But I was excited for Jesus. I loved Jesus, but I was just a negative person. And so God hooked me up with this one brother. Every time I complained, he'd come back with something positive. Oh, do you think I enjoyed that? You know, misery loves company, and he was no company for me. But you know, God taught me a lesson through that. Now, I still need to guard myself. I don't know about you, but there's times when I catch myself getting off into the negativity trip. Amen. But we need to just take our eyes off the stuff that's going to cause that. Amen. And get your eyes on what is good and lovely and true and good report. Right? Philippians, what is it, 4:8? Yep. Whatever is praiseworthy, if there's anything, right? Praiseworthy, think on these things. Get your mind in heaven. Get your eyes off the stuff and the mess and get your eyes on Jesus. And give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord instead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.